All right. Thank you, Lord. I want to do a little bit of something different praying today. I want to quote Romans 12, starting at verse 1. And Paul's talking to the Romans. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. Now praise God forevermore. And I'm going to say a prayer, and y'all can say it yourself for yourself as I do it. And Lord, I confess that I am surrendered to the purposes of God. And I daily consecrate myself to God to do what he wants and to live a life that is pleasing to him. My flesh may try to wage war against this consecration, but I take authority over my flesh and I tell it what to do. My body doesn't control me. Instead, I control it, using it as my instrument to do whatever God asks me to do. And every day when I awake, I renew this consecration and personal commitment to serve God with all my heart. And I am his completely, and I will obey whatever his spirit prompts me to do. And then I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing this for each and every one of us. Lead us and guide us and teach us your ways, Lord. We want your heart. You get rid of this old dark heart of ours, Lord, and give us your heart in here that loves everybody and says nothing bad about anybody. And Father, we thank you for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord. We want to be guided and directed by your Holy Spirit at all times, by the Spirit that's in us, Lord. And we thank you for doing that for each and every one of us. Lord, let us get down there to where we are nothing but your everything. And I thank you for it, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you be with us tonight. Lead us, guide us into these revelations of the end times, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that everything is said tonight will be relevant. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Even questions would be relevant. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you for an open heaven too, Lord, because we know when we pray, because of the faith that you've given each and every one of us, Lord, that we hook our faith together and we have an open heaven and these prayers are answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Okay, Missy.
Kurt, Brooke, and Blake are going to leave Saturday to fly out to California to see Brooke's brother and his wife. They're going to be coming back in May from her going to vet school. So I want to pray for them. Safe travels there and back, Lord. And that Blake will be totally fine. On the airplane, she will not have any ear issues or anything like that, which is in the natural, something that can be a problem. We just thank you, Lord, that she will be just a happy little baby like she normally is, and that the trip will go fine, and that everything will be fine there, well, going while they're there and back. And we just ask you, Lord, to keep them all safe and bring Roby and Tori back safely too, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. And Father, also, I like to pray, you know, Kurt had some hangups with his car today, Lord. And I just would like everybody to be in agreement, Lord. It was spewing some antifreeze, and we just pray, Lord, that it's just something really minor, Lord. And I said a quick little prayer with Kurt, but I want everybody else to be in agreement with me too, that when he goes into work tomorrow to finish this up, that it's no issue, and that it was just something minor, Lord, like Kurt was saying, Lord. And I just ask you to remind him what I said, to just keep thanking you, Lord, that that it's just minor, and not to allow anything else to come into his mind, just to keep thanking you that it's minor, and I'm believing that it's minor, giving the faith, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe it, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Lord.
All right, go ahead, Geneva.
All right. Hello, everybody. I guess I feel like today I kind of was attacked by several spirits while I was at work. And I guess I know that I'm being persecuted right now, and I know that I need to have joy and thank the Lord, like, while I'm going through it. But I guess just like today, I'm sorry, I don't mean to get upset. It's just like, I'm trying to not like gossip, and I'm trying to work hard, and I work at a hospital, and I'm a social worker there for babies and for just like a lot of elderly people. And I have a big role to like help, I guess, with aftercare and get them to like where they need to be. And I don't agree, you know, I work in a hospital setting, but I don't agree with the way they do things. And I don't, everyone I work with is pretty much, you know, not, they're not saved. And so I'm trying to be a light. But I guess I'm just struggling right now, because I don't really know, like, I don't want to work. Ezra, I know why women are called to stay at home and to be with the children. And yeah, I don't have children yet, but I know when that day comes that the Lord's going to bless me to do that. But I just, I guess I'm just kind of having a hard time. And I'm just fighting, you know. And, but I know the Lord's going to give me peace, and he's going to give me rest. And I just got to stay in his word. And I need to do that more. But so sorry, I don't mean to get emotional. It's just one of those
days. That's fine. Women's supposed to do that. I'm just saying that. I don't want nobody to go off on me. Lord, we just pray for Geneva right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you surround her with your angels wherever she goes. And Lord, I thank you for putting in her joy and peace regardless of what goes on around her, in the knowing that you're there with her, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I command this spirit off of her right now, this anxiety, this anxiousness, to go from her in Jesus' name. Fearfulness, go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening her spirit, filling her completely with your spirit, Lord. And with your spirit, Lord, it moves everything out that's not supposed to be there. And I praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for putting joy back in her heart in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. Geneva, did you say that you were trying to fight against gossip?
Yeah. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and say it's not always you, it's a spirit that's, I used to work in an environment in corporate America, and I had to fight against that too. There are other spirits that were there, but just even being around people who are doing it, that thing can jump on you. So don't think it's you. If you're fighting against it, you know, you don't, you know, it's not you. I'd like to pray for you too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for Geneva, and I thank you, Lord, for her heart and where you have her, that she cares for people, and you put her in that environment, Lord. It's supposed to be a caring environment, Lord, and I pray that you would give her wisdom beyond her understanding, help her to walk away, close her ears, and close her eyes to the things in the spirit realm that are attacking her, the gossip. We bind that spirit. We bind the spirits of gossip and speaking against people, slander, and those companion spirits, whatever they may be, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray you just give her the ability to disconnect from those people where she can, and just not, it's the easiest way to shut it down is just not repeat it and just walk away from that those kind of people who are doing it and not take part of that stuff. And it's a real isolating place to be, Lord. And I pray that you will give her the grace and the strength to separate herself from the people, not associate with them, that can in any way defile or contaminate her spirit, in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Lord, for shielding her with your grace and your love, and that she knows that she's doing the right thing there, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Yes, Marilyn, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we come against the spirit of discouragement, heaviness, weariness. In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. I heard a pastor many years ago, I'll never forget this, and I believe he is right about this, that's one of the enemy's big guns against believers, that he can't get any other way if he can get you discouraged. And so, Lord, we cast all that down. We have the authority, command that demon to go, all that oppression, just the weariness. Oh, and the condemnation that is trying to come in there as well. We cast that down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Geneva. Just, she's a such a dear, sweet, lovely sister. She's only been here a couple of weeks now, and she fits in so well with the body because we see Jesus in her. And I pray, Father, that you strengthen her in the inner man by the power of your Holy Spirit, and enlighten the eyes of her understanding to see what this enemy is, and to pick up her sword and swing it. Father, or the Holy Spirit, also he brings everything to our remembrance. And I pray that you would remind her that if she confesses her sins, you are faithful and just to forgive her sins and to cleanse her of all unrighteousness. And Lord, that it's no longer her that is willfully sinning. It's the sin nature in her trying to crawl off the cross. And Lord, that you give her good discernment in the Holy Spirit to immediately recognize the voice of self and the voice of any demons that are trying to distract her, and to quickly cast her down. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And he helps us and he teaches us. And when we cry out to him to help us and teach us, he's going to do it. And yes, he convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment, because we want no pleasure or success in unrighteousness, and that's his job. But Lord, you don't want us, if we're not in willful disobedience, you don't want us under condemnation. So Lord, I thank you for all the power of this oppression is broken off of her. There's just an outpouring of your spirit, your love, your mercy. Just a special touch of your Holy Spirit on her, Father. And I thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
It's done. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yes, Julie.
Just want to share something with you, Geneva. Might give you a little help here. In the office I used to work in, the people there, you know, they have spirits on them, and they will speak as they are, those natures. And this one woman had a cussing spirit on her, we'll just say. Now, I used to speak not so pretty myself, And Lord delivered me from that. But just being around her one afternoon, she was swearing, and I was just sitting there listening, but I was listening. That spirit jumped on me, and I said a cuss word later that day. And I'm like, where did that come from? So it's, you know, it's not you. You're against it, and you recognize it, and that's the biggest part of the battle. You know, you're fighting against it. So it's not you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know the Lord's going to bring me through this, and, you know, it's my cross and I got to bear it. I guess this is what happens when we're his children, you know, and I'm thankful for it. I want to do the right thing, and I know he'll lead me every step of the way. So just got to be joyful in tribulation.
Yeah. Amen. Petra put something in the chat there you might want to look at as well. All right. Anyone else? Got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report or a song or story?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, God bless you. Sorry, I'm driving. I couldn't find the raise hand button.
That's okay.
Hey, I just want to say, I want to bless God for you. As weird as that sounds, every Tuesday and Thursday, you are here every time. It's amazing. Praise God. You're faithful. You're always here. And I am blessed by that. Thank you for being here for the body of Christ.
I'm humbled. Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate it. That's awesome.
Amen. I second that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm going to take an extended vacation come tribulation.
Okay, I guess just this one time, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Praise God, though. A lot of people, you know, they can't make it. You know, they set a time for Zoom, and a lot of times it's closed. They skip days. The wind blows. And, I mean, this group is always on no matter what. But praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I know if I don't, I'd have a bunch of folks down me getting on to me. Well, yeah, no. Anyway, praise God. Anybody else? I'll tell you what, Tracy, to respond to that, I truly enjoy coming on these conference calls. 99.9% of the time. 99.9%. Think about that a minute. But anyway, go ahead, Stephen.
I got myself unmuted. I'd like everybody to intercede for my daughter. I have a daughter who's divorced, has two children. One's 16, one's 11. She's fighting a custody deal with her ex. Her ex has the children, and she has minimal time with the children. She's trying to reverse that. He's got a real abusive nature to him, and it just seems like there's a spiritual battle going on in addition to what you see on the surface. It kind of seems like it's a mini version of, you know, like the election and Trump's thing. You know, there's all this lying and slander going on, and it seems like the lying and the slander is prevailing, and my daughter's very truthful about things, and so it's just difficult right now. So if we could just come against the spiritual forces that are coming against her and her children right now. And her daughter, I know, is going to be completely devastated if she does not. She hates living with her father, and she desperately wants to live with her mother. And the if the court doesn't let that happen, I think it's going to be really devastating for her. So, this her older son is, he's just wanting to make sure everybody's happy, which is, he's a pleaser. And so he would do whatever it takes to try to make both parents happy. But that's, my daughter would probably be happy with anything from him, but her ex is he's full of demons, it seems like. So anyway, I don't want to go into too much detail, but if we could intercede for her.
Okay. You want me to pray or you want to pray?
I can pray and then I'd like you to pray as well.
Okay.
Father, I pray that truth will prevail, the lies will be exposed, and the corruption will be exposed. Father, I just intercede for the sake of the children, particularly my granddaughter, that she could be removed from the toxic environment that she's in and be brought to the house of peace. And that she could, Father, that you would move on the court when the time comes, and on the guardian ad litem that looks over the children, to intercede on her behalf and on the children's behalf. And I just do not permit the lies and the slander to stand. And Father, I also pray that you give peace to my daughter and to her children. Through this very trying time for them.
Amen. Amen. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the enemy over this situation right now. In Jesus' name, I bind up the spirit of lying. I bind up the spirit of divisiveness. I bind up the spirit of all kind of slander and malicious slander in the name of Jesus right now. And Lord, I ask and I pray right now that you put your angels in there to make the truth come out of this man and this judge. And Father, I thank you for it. And if there's lawyers involved, Lord, I ask that you give his daughter, lawyer, the wisdom and the words to say that would affect the judge and her ex-husband. And Lord, I know you can just keep his mouth shut if you want to. Whatever you need to do, Lord, we thank you for a great outcome for these children. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to put those children in the right home, regardless of what the law says. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that they're going to be with their mama. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I declare and decree those kids with their mama right now. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, Missy.
I bind up those lying, slanderous spirits upon her ex-husband. And Lord, I, in the name of Jesus, I command him to tell the truth in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, you turn his heart, Lord, and grant him repentance unto salvation, Lord. Use this, Lord, to bring salvation to everyone involved in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. We believe it.
She doesn't have a lawyer. She just represents herself. He's got a lawyer. She spends her money buying clothes for the kids. They don't really have shoes that fit when they're under his care. He has money to buy a lawyer, though. So it's one of those things.
You watch it. You believe it because it's fixing to happen. You're fixing to see God do a miracle. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're her lawyer.
That's right.
And when you're her lawyer, Lord, there ain't no way she can lose. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Justin. What say, bud? All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report? I saw earlier, I watched, y'all know who oh gosh, what's his name? Richard White was the archaeologist that found the Ark of the Covenant, among other things. Well, he was working on the Ark of the Covenant. Y'all may already know this, first time I've heard him talk about this, but he was working on the Ark of the Covenant one September day in July in Jerusalem. And he said it was so hot. He said the fan quit working and the people that were down there were hot. And he told him, I'll tell you what, let's just take a lunch break. They took a lunch break and I'm going to fix this fan. The fan stopped working down there where they were. And so he was up there and he was sitting close to a set of stairs that went to a chapel. And anyway, he said that this tall guy showed up and he told him, he said, and you gotta know Richard White. He's a pretty tough old bird. But when he was telling this, he was breaking up. The tears were coming out, and you know, and he was really moved by it. But he said this tall guy said to him, turned around and looked at him and said, God bless you for doing what you're doing. And it was a tall guy in old Jewish clothing. And the guy behind him, working with him, that asked him afterwards, he said, do you think that was an angel? He said, at least that. But he was talking, he said it was Jesus that had come and talked to him like that. Man, that was awesome. I don't know. You just had to have been there to watch him because it was awesome. Did you see that, Isaac?
That a girl. There we go. I'm trying to figure out how to unmute.
Thank you, Mariana, for helping him out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, here lately, we've been. Hey, sorry. Buddy, hang on now. Just a minute. We've been watching some Ron Wyatt videos. You know, because I was reading the
Ron White, yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, Ron White. So I was reading the Man Child Returns book, and Dave was talking about Jabal Laws. And he said in that book, it'd be good to, he said, you know, I challenge, or not really challenge, but he said, if anybody wants to look into it, you ought to look into the discoveries of Ron Wyatt, which was, you know, which was him and Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. Jabal All Laws, which is where, and what that one's amazing. I mean, if you watch it, you'll just get faith because how is it? That is it. It's all right there. But I tell you what, they took, when he found the Ark of the Covenant, and I think he looked in there 8 years, he found four angels in there still guarding it. And they told him to take the blood off the Ark of the Covenant because I don't know if you've seen this, when I had the video, they told him, take the blood off the Ark of the Covenant, because when Jesus, when he died on the cross, the ground rent, and he said that blood went on the Ark of the Covenant. And sure enough, you know, you have 23 chromosomes from your mother and 23 for your father. So you'd have 46 chromosomes. Well, that blood only had the blood of the mother, so it was only 23 chromosomes. And it is so fascinating. So yes, I did watch it to answer all that. And man, it has given me just incredible faith. So if anybody's interested, I tell you, that guy, it's amazing because he found the Ark of the Covenant by just walking. And he said as he was walking, his arm swung to the left. And he said, that's Jeremiah's grotto. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. And it was just divine revelation that came out of his mouth. And that's how he knew it was there. And sure enough, found it. And it's, I tell you what, it is such a faith builder. So yes, I so interesting.
Well, the antiquities people there in Israel allowed him to do that. They wouldn't allow just anybody, but they knew his reputation, and they allowed him to do it because he had found where Moses had crossed the Red Sea, found chariot wheels and all kinds of good stuff over there. This guy was amazing. God just guided him there. And what's amazing about the whole thing is he is the Seventh-day Adventist. Or was. I think he was a Christian myself. I think he really came into a lot of knowledge doing this archaeological work. Okay, anybody else? It is an amazing story, and there's bunches and bunches of YouTube out there for him. Go ahead, Benny.
Yeah, we want to continue praying for our daughter, Victory. She's without a car, and the transmission seems to be, they had leaked all the fluid out, and you know, doesn't have anyone to help her. And this, where she's at, living that, she's kind of living out by herself, and not too many relatives around, and not getting help from any of the dads of her children. So, Father, we pray for Victory right now, that you would bless her, Lord, with that either another car or that transmission fixed, or heal it, Father. We know you can touch machinery. We ask you to, we're committing this to you, Father. We trust you to heal that car, Father. She needs a car, Lord. We just thank you, Father. And with her court date up there that's coming up in April, that you would bless her and set her free from that, Father. Just release her so she can move, so she can leave that area. And we just thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord.
Amen. Lord, I remember when you healed Bill's car from back home. Bill, his transmission went out on him, and he called me, and we prayed, and that next thing I know, he called me back. Well, it's working, and we just believe that for Victory right now. We command that car to work and to get her where she needs to go and not give her any more trouble in the name of Jesus. Car, you work. Transmission, you work. And be filled with fluid, too, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Victory car works. When she gets in it in the morning, it's going to start up and go like it's supposed to in the name of Jesus. Father, and I ask that she put faith in her to believe that it's fixed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe it. All right. Anybody else? All right. Okay. Did everybody get the? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, before we quickly go on to the thing, the matter. Wednesday night, Lord blessed me. I was listening to a song in my quiet time. I've opened up the heavens, windows of heaven, and it, in that lyrics, it was also about let it rain. It's a very good song, but when I heard that, started raining outside. I could hear it over my earphones. So it's just amazing how good the Lord is. I just want to praise the Lord for that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That sounds like David when we was over in that church, over in that little place that had a tin roof. It seemed like every time that he started talking about the latter rain, we'd get a downpour on the top of that church. I mean, it just seemed like it every time it did that. And anyway, all right, Amen. Sue, go ahead, or Jenny. That's awesome, Joe. Thanks.
I'd like to pray for Denny and Debbie's daughter. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you're going to bring someone across her path, even a neighbor that's nearby that can help her out where if she needs to go anywhere or do anything. Lord, I know you're not a respecter of persons, and I know you've helped out my daughter when she needed help, and some of the neighbors helped her. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would send those laborers to go forth to minister to her, to help her while she's living up there, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in my own daughter. Thank you, Father, that you're reaching her and you're touching her and helping her to even recognize that she's not wrestling with her husband, but with the demons that have used him all these years. And Lord, just help her to continue to soften her heart and to soften Bernie's heart, to bring them to where they need to be to follow you, in Jesus' name, and help her to find a place that you want her to go to have the fellowship that she needs, in Jesus' name as well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Petra, go ahead.
After the praise report, and maybe a prayer request as well, that little clip or that YouTube link that I posted there for Geneva, it helped me a lot last night. It's just a really a short clip from the reference on demons and how they work. And we all know that, but it was so refreshing to get a short note on that. And it ties into my praise report when your email came through. But the topic is for tonight, or this morning for me. Just to answer Michael, and I said, please pray for me. I battled to get up so early in the mornings, and my days are very long when I start up 2 in the morning. And Michael prayed for me, and I was awake before my alarm clock went off this morning. I was waiting for it to come off. So, and it was just so amazing where I normally battle to get myself out of bed and get myself awake. I was waiting for the alarm clock this evening. So I just want to praise the Lord. And then secondly, in this little clip, Derek Prince just explained again how demons work. And I realized that so oftentimes these demons, they, like Julie said, they just hang around. And the demon of tiredness and sleepiness, you know, the moment you pick up your Bible and you want to read, it just makes you so tired and you want to fall asleep. Happens so often with me. That's one demon that really tortures me a lot. And another one that I suffer from is really a demon, and I have to confess it, is that I am enslaved. And he explains it so beautifully that if you do something and it's your flesh, or something that you do but you control it, then it's your old man, your flesh. But the moment that you're addicted to it, then it's a demon that brought that old flesh out, and he makes you addicted to that. And I am addicted to electronics, to my phone or my iPad, or flipping through it, even flipping through one teaching after the other. And I would like to ask for prayer just to get to cast this demon out that controls me from sitting on my electronic stuff, looking at visuals, and this demon of tiredness and sleepiness that keep me away from the Lord. And then I want to praise him for this morning that he got me up at 22:02 ready here for you guys, or for this meeting. Thank you.
Petra, you said it was spirits of tiredness and heaviness, sleepiness, and then wanting to be on your phone, your electronics and stuff. Those are just those. I believe that they are spirits of distraction that just want to get you distracted and keep you from reading the word, keep you from doing what you want to be doing. I struggle with that too. Anytime I start to pick up my Bible to start reading, all these other thoughts, whatever they may be, I got to do something. Do I need to do this? Do I need to go to the store for something? Oh, what am I going to do here? It's just distractions. And the enemy just comes in and attacks your mind with other things. So I will pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace that you quickened Petra to know that there's even something, you know, that she was battling with. And that you woke her up early this morning so she could be with us. And it wasn't a struggle, and that she was wide awake. And we thank you for that. We just take authority over these spirits of distraction of the electronics and seeing what's on the internet, seeing what's in our mail, seeing this, looking at this, looking at that. And the spirits of tiredness and fatigue and sleepiness and heaviness and all of the other attempts of distractions that come against her and the rest of us, in Jesus' name, we take authority over you and we command you to stop. We don't receive this. Lord, we ask for your grace and your strength and your wisdom and the power of an earnest desire to be with you and be in fellowship with you and to fight against these things, Lord, and to cast them down and to bind them up and just that they're not going to bother us anymore, because we already have the victory. Whatever we bind on the earth is bound in the heavens, and whatever we loose on the earth they're loosed in the heavens. And we thank you, Lord, for the angels to go forth and minister unto us, heirs of righteousness, that we may have that time of sweet fellowship to be in your word and to listen to you and not be distracted anymore by these things, whatever they are. We are all individuals, Lord, and the enemy works in different ways, but it's still the same. So thank you, Lord, for removing the distractions from our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank amen. You. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we just put our faith together with Petra and Julie. And we thank you, Father, that this prayer has been already answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for placing hunger in her for the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? All right. Did everybody get the email? Did anybody not get it? Except for Lacey and Justin. I know y'all didn't get this.
Are you talking about the vaccine email?
The what? The one that you sent me, the one I sent out about tonight's subject. Did you get one, Pat? Well, it's a whole lot better if we could just hear you rather than try to read your lip.
Come on, now.
Yeah, I know.
What did we do? I'm sorry, I got in late. Did we send an email out or something?
I sent an email out yesterday. I believe it was.
Okay. I'll have to check it. I know I didn't catch it yet.
Okay. Well, the nice subject is what it was about. We're going to, Vanita, you want to explain or do you want me to just read what you got? I don't care. Whichever way you want to do it. Why don't you just go ahead and explain what you got?
Okay, I'd explain it here. as I've been studying, I've been listening to a lot of the end time messages that David has out there, and I just kept getting confused about different verses that were coming up, and they seem to contradict each other, which I know they can't do, and so I was trying to reconcile that, and So I listed some of those verses. Basically, it's just at the at the time of when the millennial reign starts. Well, back up during the year of wrath. It says in a lot of places in the Bible that there's going to be complete destruction, and everything will be destroyed, and yet we know that in the thousand-year reign, there are going to be some unbelievers there. At least that's how I understand it. So there was a couple of verses that I saw that said, there will be the wrath of God, but then a few men will survive. There was a few verses here and there that said that. So I was just trying to reconcile all of that and figuring out what I'm missing. Maybe I'm interpreting utterly destroyed or something incorrectly. Maybe it's spiritual and not physical, and I wasn't sure how that worked out.
Okay. I know everybody studied up on that, read the whole hidden manna, and found out everything there is to know about what she's fixing to talk about here. So I'm going to open the floor up. Let's talk about first the day of the Lord. And what it is, and when it is. When is the? Let's go with when is it first, and give us some scripture. Well, go ahead. Yeah, Stephen.
The Bible says in Matthew 24:29 that after the tribulation of these days, the moon will be darkened, or something close to that. I'm not quoting it exactly. And in Acts 2:20, it says the sun and moon will be darkened before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So we know that it comes after the tribulation, and the darkening of the darkening of the sun and the moon is a demarcation between the 7-year tribulation and the 1 year of wrath. Isaiah 63, the first maybe, I don't know, 4 or 8 verses or so, and Isaiah 34, I think it is, 35, 34. The first part of the verses in that both talk about this sun and moon darkening, and then it describes the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it also references the day as being a year in both of those locations. So we know it's a year. But that sun and moon darkening demarcates the time between those two time periods.
Okay. And where is it in relation to the millennial?
The millennial period would come after the 1 year of wrath.
Yeah.
And I think it would begin when the Jesus, I think maybe Revelation 19, I think it's somewhere in there, where the Jesus comes back with a white horse, and there's much of the church body with him, coming with him. And that looks like that's at the very end of the day of the Lord, and then the time of the millennial period would begin after that.
Okay. Now, there is, you had mentioned in your email, let me get it here, you had mentioned there were some okay. You said, I think some non-believers will go into the kingdom, but how would they survive when the earth was being destroyed so completely? In Isaiah 24:3. Actually, there will be some that survive that. He said in Noah's, when Noah, you mentioned Noah's there, but he said in Noah's, this will never happen again like this. And so it won't. There's still going to be some people survive that to live during the millennial reign. And that's what he's talking about there. And I saw that in here. I've been trying to find it again. It's in Hidden Manna. He's got a whole deal on that. But anyway, go ahead, Missy.
Now, I don't have verses for this, but as far as the earth isn't completely destroyed, it's just the surface, because there's somewhere it says that the earth abides forever or something to that effect. So it's just the surface of the earth that is destroyed, not the earth completely. And that there will be believers in the millennium, in that it's the those who rule and reign with Christ, but everybody else are not believers, and they won't be believers. I think it's in Zechariah.
What did you just say, Missy? You said there would be some believers?
There would be some believers, in that only believers that will be there in the millennium will be those that rule and reign with Christ, but the rest are not believers. Those who rule and reign with Christ are
rule and reign. Okay. I didn't hear that part. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. No believers in the last millennial age at that time. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just focusing on who these people will be. And okay. I go to Revelation 20, verse 7. And this is after the first 1,000 years are finished, but it says there, and when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go forth to deceive the nations, those in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Now, this Gog is not a nation, it's a principality that comes against the people of Magog. And they're the descendants of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And this is 1,000 years later, these people will also be infected by this principality called Gog, which is of all the nations, because they don't belong to the kingdom, basically. And if you read in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 14, you can see that Gog is there, but Israel is also there. But that Israel is kind of like a type and shadow of our Israel, because it's talking about the first resurrection there. And it goes down through to the end here. I didn't have time to, because Gog and Magog are mentioned in Ezekiel in two different passages. And there's only one passage, and the one I just read in Revelation where it's mentioned. So these descendants of all the tribes and nations that have not received the gospel. And then 1,000 years later, all the people who did receive the gospel are going to be in this city here. And I kind of believe that some of them are going to go out and even minister to these people maybe help them, maybe help where in the beginning, after the devastation of the earth, maybe help them to give them food and stuff and places to live, because Satan will be hindered. For 1,000 years, he'll be chained. And I think some of the saints are going to go out and minister to these people for 1,000 years. And I guess as the 1,000 years goes on, they don't go out as frequently. And then 1,000 years ends, and Satan is let loose, and the great white throne starts, where God stops everything, and he opens the books. And what's written in those books is in the history section of the bookstore and in the library, but written towards the kingdom of God's point of view when the last judgment happens. And of course, the book of life is open there too. And he's going to judge them too, but they're going to be on the right hand, the good guys, of course, because they're already been resurrected for 1,000 years. And it was quite interesting reading this passage here on what he actually even says to the Son of Man during the first resurrection, which someone is definitely going to have to say at the end of the trumps, chapter 11, verse 15, the last trump goes off, and some Son of Man there is going to have to say something there. It makes a reference of that in Ezekiel 38, 14, down to the end of 14. I didn't have time to discern too much of it, because it's kind of hard for me to go through that and try to see what it's meaning in our time. But I'm getting better at it anyway. So praise God. I'm just trying to make a reference as who these people are. And we're all from that lineage, but some get chosen and some don't.
Amen. Go ahead, Benita.
So the verses that I was confused about, because I just, like in, let's see, Isaiah 24, 6, it says, the earth will be utterly destroyed. And the earth shall be utterly empty and utterly plundered. And so when I read that, and then the other verse is, where is it? It says, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. So they who dwell on the earth will die. So it just, those two verses specifically just made it sound like, you know, I know it's just the garment, not the guts of the earth, or it's just the garment being changed, but how do they survive utter destruction?
Okay. David goes through that, and the utter part, it's, you have to wait just, you know, I have to hook it back up. But let me, this might clarify something for you, okay? I found this in Hidden Manna, the PDF version on page, for those of you who want to know, 385. And it says, some say that since the earth is destroyed after the tribulation, there wouldn't be 7 years left. This is false, because as we saw back in chapter 9, the two witnesses, Peter compared the destruction of the earth in the flood with its later destruction by fire in 2 Peter 3, 5 through 7. Yeah, I think you even mentioned that. The ball of mud was not destroyed at the flood. Only the surface was. So will it be in the day of the Lord, because the earth abideth forever, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. Only the surface of the earth shall be changed like a garment. Psalms 102:25. Of old didst thou lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of the hands of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yeah, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Those who live during, those who live through the day of the Lord in physical bodies will be here for another 1,000 years to build houses, raise children, burn weapons when God removes the curse and restores the earth. They will be forced to bow their knees to God until Gog is once again loosed to incite them against God 1,000 years later in Revelation 20 and 7 through 9. The Lord will then destroy them in time for the resurrection. So, as you can see on that one there, if you think about it, there's going to be caves. I don't know. The Lord can preserve a people if he wants to preserve a people. And I was thinking at the time when I first saw you, I said, well, what if those people are going to be down in caves or whatever, you know, storm cellars or bunkers or whatever. I don't know. But there's only going to be a small portion of that's kept. And that's to show people at the during the millennial reign, at the end of the millennial reign, that people's hearts, even though they've been under a theocracy for all those many years, saw God, saw the people of God, and had to live under that theocracy for 1,000 years. The joy, and it was a, you know, they ruled it with a rod of iron, it says. But it showed that they had a heart of evil, and every one of them will lose their, every one of them will go to hell afterwards. They'll be at the judgment seat, the white throne judgment, I'm sorry, the white throne judgment at the end, and be sent to hell because of it. Did you have your hand up, Julie?
Yeah, I did. Something was coming to my mind about the garments and the garments being works, not necessarily artworks, but God created everything. You know, he created the heavens and the earth, you know, everything that we see. So I was thinking like the garments, you know, are the works of his creation on the earth, the heavens and the earth, what we see, what we see natural. And he said he's your other question was about a new heaven and new earth. I just think that's just, it's everything's just going to be cleaned up and restored, you know, and I don't fully understand, like, you know, the new Jerusalem coming down on earth is, you know, is coming now, you know, that's new Jerusalem. That's, it's all spiritual. So I don't know how it's going to relate in the natural. I just know it's all going to be cleaned up, you know, from all of the, what man, look, when you think about what man has done to the earth as far as destruction and poisons and, you know, their works, where when God first created it, it was beautiful, it was perfect and all that, and he has to recreate what man has kind of destroyed. That's what was coming to me with the garments and the works thing, is, you know, it's new works, recreated and cleaned up, and a new heaven and a new earth. What was created for man, for his creation to enjoy and to reign on the earth, or to inhabit the earth and to you know, he gave Adam, you know, dominion over all of the earth. I'm assuming we're going to have that dominion again, you know, as, you know, born again sons of God. You know, I don't know that after that whole thing, what we're really going to do, what God's plan is for his new creation, his sons, you know, on a new earth. I don't know, you know, it's just something to think about. I don't know. I don't think any of us really know, but it was just something I was thinking about, a new heaven, a new earth, and what God has planned for those who love him. You know, it's just, we don't really know. Now, that was my thoughts that were coming to my mind about that.
Yeah, Mike, did you have something?
No, I just woke up.
Okay, buddy.
I just saw the unmute and I clicked that one. So, no, not sorry. I'll just listen.
Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else? I had a question earlier. Somebody had texted me and wanted to know what relationship the seals and the trumpets had. How were they going to be handed out? Were they going to be just one right after another, or was it going to be during the whole thing, or how was that going to work? Was the trumpets going to go first? Are the seals going to go first and then the trumpets, or what? What? Missy's got to answer, it looks like.
Well, I posted a link there that Julie had given me. She had mentioned about this in the chat, and I listened to it. And it refreshed my memory with a lot of stuff. Well, and David says that the trumpets and the seals run parallel. And that, I'm not sure if he really said this, but my thought is, since there's seven trumpets and seven seals, that there's one for every year of the tribulation, is my thought.
It could be, but then it could not be too. I mean, it doesn't really say.
Right. So, but seven's a big number in the Bible, in case there's somebody that didn't realize that, but yeah, it's probably the biggest number that's repetitively used. It's very significant. It's interesting.
Amen. Yeah, Stephen.
It does look like the seals and the trumpets run together. But when you get to the seventh seal, it looks a lot like the resurrection and the rapture. And you get to the seventh trumpet, it also looks a lot like the resurrection and the rapture. And that actually takes place after the tribulation's over, 40 days into the year of wrath. So it covers slightly more than 7 years. If the first ones come out at the beginning of the tribulation, which it looks like they do, and the trumpets could come on a yearly basis, but if they did, you would actually need eight to cover a 7 year period, one at the beginning and one, we know the last one's actually after the 7 year period's over, because that's the resurrection and the rapture. at the last trump, the dead in Christ will be raised, and we that are alive and remain, we come together with them. And in Noah's type, that's 40 days into the year of wrath when the ark is lifted up. And in Daniel, it's 1,335 days after mid-trib, which puts it 7 years and 40 days from the beginning of the tribulation. So either way, it's at the time of the time of wrath when that seventh one is implemented. And it kind of looks like the seals are rolled out 1, 2, 3, 4 right away. But I think the fifth seal, we have those that have been beheaded going before God and talking to God about interceding for the others. It was either fifth or sixth seal. So there's some that are, clearly after mid-trib, or it looks like it's after mid-trib when you have more of the persecution of the church happening. So Bible doesn't really say the timing of each of those, how quickly they come out, or if they're one for one at the same time. It doesn't, that might not be a good assumption to make that assumption. But they do seem to run parallel.
Yeah, I believe that. Another thing is that the seals never close. The first one opens up and it keeps opening up. It keeps on going and going and going. The second one and the third one, all the way through, they don't stop. It's not a stopping point for it. Go ahead, Vanita.
David has a really good teaching out there under the audio studies. It's called Timing of the Seals and the Trumps and the Bowls. And it's really just awesome. And I've just been really studying it. I've probably listened to it 4 times this week and just taking it step by step. And I've actually mapped it all out on paper and just put it all the timelines down. And it's just like Stephen said, from what David's saying, the first and the fourth start at the beginning and they're just one right after the other and they run all the way through. But the fifth one starts at mid-trib and the sixth one says the sun and the moon, sun is dark and the moon turns to blood. So that's right at the end of the tribulation before the day of the Lord. And so I went through every chapter 6 through 22 and mapped it all out. And so I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I've listened to it so many times, but it's a great teaching and there's a lot in there.
Amen. It is. It's a good teaching. You know, I asked David here earlier, somebody had asked me about a chart. I said, didn't we used to have a chart of everything on it? And nice color thing, you know? He said, no, I don't believe so. He said, because I'm against charts. I said, why? He said, because it's too easy for people to misinterpret charts. And it would be. And so that's therefore he doesn't recommend we even do that. I said, okay. Okay. That's good. All right, Pat. I like the charts though.
Yeah, I do too. So I got a question then. So can somebody then speak to, if we're saying that the seals and the trumpets are happening at the same time, I guess I'm looking here at Revelation 8:1, where he says, and when he opened the seventh seal, up to this point, he's speaking about the starting was in chapter 6, and then 7 is an interim in between or whatever, and 8. But he's taking that in a sequence of the seals being opened. And then he says in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, and when he opened the seventh seal, there followed a silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. And I saw the angels that stand before God, And there were given unto them seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood over the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should add it unto the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, etc. So, and then in verse 6, right below it, it says, and the seventh angel that had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, and the first sounded, and there followed, etc., etc. So I guess my question, it appears that according to this, it looks like it's happening, the seven seals happen first, and then it moves into the seven trumpets. So is there a teaching that is different than that, I guess? I didn't understand what Stephen said. I think that they happen at the same time.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I was asking Stephen to go ahead. They run parallel.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you ask, so you raised my hand. You'll see several times in Revelation where the story starts over again. Revelation 6 through 8:1 is the seven seals, and then it starts over again with 8:2, Revelation 8:2 with the trumpets, and that rolls through the end of chapter 11. Chapter 12, you start over again at the beginning with the birth of the man-child. And chapter 13 is the second half of the tribulation. In chapter 14, you start over again with the 144,000, which is the same as the man-child at the beginning. And it takes you all the way through the day of the Lord. The full 8 years is all in one chapter. And then when you get to chapter 15, in 16, 17, you start going through the time of the bowls of wrath and the time of wrath. So you sequentially pick up that part. But the last trump is when the dead in Christ arise, and we that are alive and remain are caught up together with them. So that's actually in the day of the Lord. And the seventh seal is this half hour of silence in heaven, which some say there's no women in heaven because of that. But I think it has to do with maybe the marriage supper of the Lamb is that everything stops, and we have this marriage supper of the Lamb, which runs in parallel. The marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven runs in parallel with the year of wrath on the earth, just like Noah was in the ark for that year of floating above the earth, and the rest of the world was under the wrath. Both of them happened at the same time, but they were in two different places. So back to what I was saying, though, Revelation has the same story over and over again. And so you don't have to think that just because it's chapter 8, verse 2, it's moving, it's sequentially after 8:1, because when you get to chapter 12, verse 1, you move back to the beginning of, like, same time frame as Revelation 6:1. And in Revelation 14 is also the same as Revelation 6:1 time-wise, because it's the coming of the 144,000. I hope I made that clear. I don't know.
Did you get that, Pat?
Well,
he's right. David explains this just exactly like Stephen talked about.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to go back. And where is that explained in? Is that in Hidden Manna?
Yes.
So if someone can think of the specific chapter,
when you go, do you have Hidden Manna on your computer?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When
you
go
open right now, as a matter of fact,
on the PDF, you got a Apple or you got a Windows?
Yeah, I can search it if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you. Just go ahead and search it and search the seals and the trumpets.
Okay. So I guess I guess I won't say much here, obviously, because I'm dealing in a bit of ignorance here. But I agree with the was that funny? Well,
that you even mentioned it was funny. That's what was funny.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. Well, I guess I'm thinking of the specific verse there. It's hard for me to link, to make the shift, like from verse 1 to 2, like you know, because there's so many. I guess the principle that I'm looking at is that is first that in prophecy something happens in the physical, is the first time, and then you have a repeat in pattern of that through the process. I know that certain things like the Gospels that are, as David said, all of the Gospels are in type going to be repeated, but with a greater number of people. And that repeated means obviously in pattern mode, so that it's a type and a pattern. And I'm wondering if the same thing, the repeats that we see in Revelation are also a reflection of patterns being repeated, and you know, even through the time of Revelation. But anyway, I'll just I'll quit there and go back and read Hidden Manna, and then it may make me more knowledgeable about my questions.
Okay. No, I don't feel like it. You just, you know, I forget that stuff too. And I've read that thing, I can't tell you how many times. Go ahead, Vanita.
I was just going to say, Pat, one of the keys that David points out is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is like the Gospels, where Christ, the first fruit, is introduced or comes. And then there's the disciples, and there's a lot of miracles and teaching and learning, and all that's going on in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then the second 3.5 years is like the book of Acts. And it just follows the book of Acts. Just if you read through and you think about the end times, that once you listen to Hidden Manna or some of these other videos, you'll see exactly how it follows along with that. But there's a lot of martyrdom in the book of Acts. So when you get to, like, when you're looking at the seals, then you get to the fifth seal, and it talks about them being at the altar of God, and they're the ones that have been martyred. Because they've been martyred, that kind of tells you that that starts the second 3.5 years of the tribulation. Because they weren't being martyred in the Gospels, they were being martyred in the book of Acts. So that is a real big key to kind of understanding what part of the tribulation it might go into, or, you know, when he changes from the first 3.5 years to the second 3.5 years. But also, while I've got the mic here, I mean, there's just so many. There's Hidden Manna is a great resource, but there's so many. There's Not Appointed Unto Wrath, The Soon Coming End, Timing of the Coming of the Lord. And there's just so many good teachings out there, and they all come at it from a little bit different point of view. And so if you listen to Timing, you get certain amount of information on exactly when the timings are, but then when you listen to the Soon Coming End, it just looks at it from a completely different way, and it just gives you more revelation on the end times that you didn't think was there. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Benita. Go ahead, Missy.
There was something that Stephen was saying, and I don't know if y'all caught it, but I don't think David said this. I may be wrong. But he said he slipped it in so slick without even a hiccup. He said, after the seventh seal, there was silence. And he said, and some people say that's because there's no women in heaven. There was silence in heaven. And I was like, and I'm surprised I caught that because
I missed it. I wished I'd have caught it.
Usually stuff goes over my head and I don't catch it, but I caught that one.
Oh, Stephen. You are something else, brother.
He said that so slick. And I was like.
Oh, my gracious. I'll have to go back and listen to the recording. All right. All right, Vanita, go ahead.
Women in heaven. Sorry, I'm just really into this stuff right now. So I completely understand where if you have graphs and charts, it can be very misleading. I completely understand that. I'm even nervous doing it on my own because, you know, I might have something wrong and I write it and then I erase it and then I move it again when I listen to another thing and I keep moving it around because I keep hearing something that changes it a little bit every time. But I don't know, it also is very helpful because there's just so much going on that if you don't start writing it down, it just all gets muddled up and you kind of need to keep track of what you learned along the way. So even if it's just for yourself, I mean, it's helped me a lot to write it down and graph it out because it's just too much to remember all of it as you're going through just to keep it in your head.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead, Julie.
I agree, Vanita. You know, I went back and listened to that teaching today, that millennial reign teaching, and I'd listened to it a few times before, but the more you start understanding things, the more you retain things and that kind of stuff, then you go back and listen to something you listened to 3 years ago, and you have more light, you have more understanding, and it fits together, and it was really a good refresher for me to listen to that today. So it was, you know, and going back and listening to all the timing teachings on the end times, there's a bunch of them on the website. So it was good. Yeah, we grow. We're not where we were yesterday or last year or whatever. So,
what's the name of that? It's the nature of the millennial reign or something like that.
Yeah, it's called. I put it in the chat. It's under the miscellaneous studies. The nature of the millennial reign. Okay. The date is 3/11/12 under miscellaneous.
All right. Okay. All right. Any other questions or any other comments on the end time stuff? We can just open it up for the end times if you want to. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got any questions about when the rapture is? Go ahead, Isaac. I was just kidding.
There we go. No, I was just going to ask, do they have the Hidden Manna series? Is that in a book or is that just PDF and audio?
You're muted, Michael.
Well, y'all just missed it. I ain't doing it again. Oh, what I said was, Isaac, is that the book has not been published yet. David is re-editing it even as we speak now. He has primarily dedicated a lot of his time now to get that book out, and that's what he's working on. I just started back on it here just the last day or so. So that's where we are. The PDF, it's up there. It's the latest one. I would recommend, you know, if you haven't read it, to read it, study it. And also the audios are on site with the book, just down at the bottom. It says the audio are down there. Listen to that. And you really come. I would venture to say that series there is what hooked most of us into the UBM teachings. I know it did me. That was back when UBM used to be America's Last Days. That's when I got on it. I typed in America's Last Days in Google one day just to find out some information about it. And lo and behold, I don't know how that happened. But anyway, go ahead, Malcolm. Malcolm has some wisdom here.
Actually, I have a question. A bunch of questions, but it pertains to the more immediate thing that David has been talking about, and we've all been looking at for some time, and that is the Nibiru, Planet X. The timing of Planet X, David has mentioned a number of times that there may be 30 to 40 days from the time we see it come around the sun to the time it comes sailing by here. I'm trying to put together, I think a lot of us are just trying to figure out timing. At what time should we be warning our... Okay, so the last broadcast, he was talking about how this Planet X thing is going to be coming by. I got the feeling that it may be in the fairly near future. However, we have a Passover coming up in a couple weeks. So what I'm trying to figure out is if Nibiru comes sailing by and we need 30 days, or it might take 30 days before it shows up by the sun, and then until the time that we have the three days of darkness. It doesn't seem likely that that would happen. It seems like this Passover may not be that Passover. If that Passover, if the Passover that happens every year, is going to correspond with the 3 days of darkness, and the whole thing with Egypt, and you know all the. So what I'm trying to figure out is it possible we'll have a Passover that's not on the actual Passover for the 3 days of darkness? Because I'm getting the sense that it may be this year that this happens, but if so, it seems like it will not be on. The end of March on the regular Passover date. You understand my question?
You want an actual date and time. It's going to be September the 3rd, 2:09 a.m. in the morning.
Ah, okay.
Thus saith Michael. So I do
get the feeling that this Nibiru thing could happen before 4th of July this year, because there's going to be celebration.
Absolutely.
But that means it would have to come after, it would still have to come after the actual Passover this year. By actual, I mean the lunar, you know, what's in the schedule, if I can be British.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to sort all that out. I know Timothy Dixon has talked about, you know, the 30 days, which are up on the 25th or so. And then we have Passover after that. So we're just looking at all these dates and just trying to, of course, we want to be ready all the time. But
that's the best way to do it, just be ready. Just have your... And warn them that it's coming. I know what they're going to say. Well, you've said this and said this. But
right,
just keep
right.
on. Because I've told them. Here's what I tell them, Malcolm. I tell them, I say, look, when it happens, just give me a call and I'll tell you what to do. That's what I tell them.
Yeah, well, you mean
because they don't believe me. They don't believe me when I tell them. I said, that's okay. Just when the time comes and you know that something's wrong, give me a call. I'll let you know what to do. And when they call, I'm going to say, hit your knees, brother. Hit your knees. Repent, believe. Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah. So you're talking specifically about what that a vision or whatever that the lady had back in 2019, like a word from the Lord about warning your neighbors and friends and making your house available to them in the event of, you know, when they see this happen, just say, okay, time to hunker down, get over here, drop what you're doing. You know, so
I don't know if I even know. This was just actually something that came to me to tell them, because I was tired of listening to them rebuke me and you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I just finally said, okay, that's okay. Put it on the shelf. And when the time comes, give me a call. I'll let you know what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just, you know, way I was. I've got brothers and sisters that have trouble believing Michael.
Well, some of the things that from the 2019 thing that David went over yesterday are, and I've listened to it many times, but there's a lot of detail there. For instance, you need to make sure all your windows are blocked. It sounds like completely blocked, and you're to never look outside. And I'm assuming from what the Lord told her about that, that there's, you don't want to look outside because there are demons, there's demonic activity. So, you know, that means I need to be thinking about, you know, if your house is a whole bunch of glass, you know, what do you do with anyway, and then whether or not to talk to unbelievers about, you know, like neighbors that have no interest in Christianity. Anyway, just I have a lot of questions there. Obviously, we all need to be led by the Lord for ourselves, but I was just curious as to what other people are thinking along these lines.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got two hands up. Let's see what they say. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I think there's a lot of stuff we don't know yet, and, you know, about a lot of things nowadays. And I'm not saying this is disinformation, what David shared, but there's so much disinformation out there about a lot of different things. So, and having said that, I'm always asking the Lord, give us more information, let us know what we need to know when we need to know it, you know, and I want to hear from you. So that's been my prayer about this particular thing that Malcolm's talking about. But having said that also, I asked the Lord this morning, you know, about this particular thing that Malcolm's talking about the 3 days of darkness and all that was shared by this particular woman that the Lord had given her. Anyway, so I asked him, Lord, is this what I'm to do? You know, because I just don't automatically take it across the board, you know, necessarily. And so this is what he gave me by faith at random. And this is totally out of context. And I believe it's only these two verses that apply. It's totally out of context to those surrounding verses. And this is what it is. Job 21:8-9. Their seed is established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. How's that for an answer? I was like, wow. So it's Job 21:8-9. And so I was like, okay, so Lord, you got to show me when, you got to show me how, you know, and all that stuff. So, and I don't know what that looks like at all, you know, but I'm asking to fill in the rest, the when, how, where, and why, you know. Oh, I know why, but anyway, so just ask him, and he'll let you know. Don't sweat it. Rest, you know.
Yeah, it's a very specific things that this lady said. Very, very specific. And for instance, we have horses, and I really don't want to bring them into the house for protection. So, can you imagine? The door is only so high, you know. We could get them in, I'm sure, but that would be total chaos.
Just pray for them. They're on the Passover because you're under your authority.
Well, it's true. It's just that the specifics say not to look out the windows. Don't even open the door if somebody tries, you know. So I'd really want to be led of the Lord about not opening the door, because that's what if somebody needs help, you know, or is fainting, needing help, or.
Was he talking about in the big cities?
No, it's okay. Not him. It was a lady from 2019.
Oh,
This is yesterday's. It was the last thing that he went over.
Okay.
But you know, if the horses need food or water for 3 days, you know, that takes a little planning, because you don't want to overfeed them all at once, or they founder. So.
Okay. All right. I don't know why you wouldn't want to bring that horse in the house with you. I mean, after you feed him too, that would be nice. Okay, Malcolm, go ahead. Julie, did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, just kind of what Missy was sharing is, you know, Malcolm and everybody else, you know, just pray, Lord, you know what's coming, and you know when it's coming, and you know, who, you know, I was talking with Missy a little bit today about it, and just like, you know, okay, Julie's sending another email, what she got, you know, is she going to say now this time, and are they going to believe me this time, you know, but I want them to know, and I want them to be aware ahead of time, and hey, this is coming, we don't know exactly when, but, you know, have this stuff, you know, have some stuff in your house that you need, you know, you're going to need, you know, that's just something I've been telling them for a while. But the whole 3 days of darkness, I believe when that stuff starts happening, God will bring it to their remembrance. Hey, Julie said this was going to happen. These are the signs. And we're seeing it now in the atmosphere, the signs from heaven or whatever, however God will work. But he will, if you're seeking, you know, to do right by God, you know, it's like, Lord, show me when I'm supposed to share this information and with whom, because you have to help them receive it. I can't make them understand it, and I can't make them receive it. But it's a timing thing for me to go to my family and say, here, this is what's coming. We don't know. I know it's going to happen because God's been showing us, and we know that planet's out there. So, you know, I always tell my family when I send them stuff, I'm like, pray about it. You know, here, you pray about it. Is it true? You know, and I just, you know, I'm learning more and more to let it go. My family, God's sovereign over their lives. And when they go through these things, God has to bring tribulation to get them out of their bondages and out of their deceptions and all the things that they're in right now. And my part is, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I hear you, Malcolm, and I'm in agreement with Michael. You know, pray over your livestock, your property. You know, you have authority, right? We have authority over our properties. We have authority over all the power of the enemy to pray over those things. And then God keep your horses still and at peace, and they're not going to hear anything going on outside if there is any, you know, demonic stuff going on out there. And same thing here. It's like, you know, my windows here, you can see, you know, my windows, like I can't cover up my windows all together. If I think, well, if it's dark outside, I'm not going to see anything anyway. But anyway, it's just my thoughts.
Amen. Does my eyes deceiving me, or is that Claire in there? Is that you, Claire? Look out, girl. Hey, girl. Good to have you with us. Pat or Andrew, I don't know who was first. I really don't. Andrew won. Go, Andrew.
Oh, okay, like when they said house, I was kind of wondering, you know, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. And he said to them, when you enter a house, see who in this house is worthy. So, you know, well, I think I mentioned this last time, and you would go into this. It's not a physical house. It's not the four doors. If I'm going to have to bring my whole family in this two bedroom apartment, man, Nate, I'm glad I bought 8 pounds of rice because I'm going to have to feed them all. Anyways,
you need to get you a motel room.
I don't know if that's the way it's really going to go down, but you know, if you're already mentioning these things to your family members, you know, then you might be the first one they call. And usually when things like disasters happen, people check up on family anyway. So you have to be ready for what you have to say to them. You know, Jesus in chapter 14 of John also mentioned a house there. And he said, we discussed this like not too long ago, I go to prepare a place for you, you know. And, you know, the Lord's building your house. He's filling you up. He's making the temple, you know, without hands. And we have to trust him for everything. And if you need a good spanking every once in a while, you thank him for it, or you go ask him for a spanking, which is even better. You know, but he's cleaning your house. He's taking the flesh out of your heart. And he'll give you the interpretation of what you need to say at the time. And well, that's what I got, you know. And as for windows, you know, I'm looking out my window right now. It's nighttime. You know as well as anyone would know what the tempter does to you. He comes anytime, and it's a demon. And you know about this stuff, and they're not going. A lot of them don't know about that stuff. They don't know what's going on with them, you know. And it's the state of Christianity. It's been 2,000 years, and not too many people are privy to these things, you know, even though you can be helped by watching the Pilgrim's Progress, the cartoon with the pictures, and you see them there going down the narrow road, and all these little demons are putting ideas in his head and stuff, and they make you think it's even your idea, and I haven't listened to the Shepherd of Hermas one for a while, but there's some that there was one there when a big beast came toward him that had these different colored stones on his back or something, and that must have something to do with the beasts that were going to come, and the beast that's going to come in our day. So, and of course, the beast just fell, and his tongue came out, and he fell on the ground right before Hermas in his dream there. So, yeah, it's on site, the Shepherd of Hermas, and you can listen to it, actually. Someone will read it for you. And I just kind of wondering, because this, I believe, is a dream she had, and I'm not really good at interpreting stuff like that. And I wonder if she's speaking in parallel, in as a type or shadow of things to come. So that's where I'm thinking. Praise God.
I got to get out the chat. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was, I forgot what I was originally going on for now, but I was thinking, number one, I take prophecy, the prophecies that people speak, and the dreams that people have, etc. And I kind of I don't know if you can say compartmentalize those, but place them in a certain category apart from the scripture. Everything in the scripture, the word of God, is absolutely, I take it without a doubt. If I see something there that I don't agree with, I'm definitely the one wrong. There's no doubt about it. And I need to find out what it is that I am not understanding, or where I may need to repent, or whatever it would be. Prophecy and dreams with me fall in a different category, in that I believe them, and many of the things I have to set up on the shelf and allow it to develop in my understanding, because I believe that, number one, things can be spoken and you have to be able to give it the latitude that it needs to be applied in your life, whether it be literal or a type or a picture, whether it even applies to you at this particular time, and whatever. So there's a lot of variables I believe that are there, however, I'm not discounting the fact that God obviously warns us through these, through visions, through dreams and prophecy, and they need to be taken seriously, obviously, which I do. But I guess another aspect that happens in the process, and I'm thinking of Noah, that when God came to Noah the first time, he said, build a boat, because I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. I'm really paraphrasing here, but generally speaking. But he didn't tell him when. He just said, build a boat. And so Noah believed God, and he started building the boat. Now, obviously, we know in hindsight, or it took him 120 years or whatever, it was quite a feat. And just thinking of that whole process and the pressure and the social pressure on the guy, knowing that, number one, they had very few boats. You know, they had boats, like I'm assuming, on the ocean or the landmass, where, you know, the ocean at that time, but it doesn't appear that they had that the environment was conducive to, you know, lakes and a lot of, you know, rivers, and I'm not really sure. I think the environment in the earth was before the flood was totally different than it is now. But picture, he's building this boat on land. Doesn't appear that he was next, you know, to a, you know, he's going to push it off into a lake or the ocean or anything. He's on land, and he's building this thing in obedience to God. And he has to have people coming by and saying, this guy has got a screw loose, man. And of course, all this time he's preaching and whatnot. But in that obedience, believing God's word, God was speaking to him, but he didn't give him the timing. He just said, do it. Now, if Noah wouldn't have taken that seriously and wasn't decided not to build the boat, obviously God would have to motivate, change plans, or do whatever, because the boat's going to get built one way or the other, whether Noah does it or someone else. But anyway, but it wasn't until, once you get down there towards the end where he's finished up the boat, then he comes in and he tells him specifically, in 7 days, I will cause it to rain. And he puts a little more definition as to when that's going to happen. So generally speaking, for me, prophecies and these, as I grab onto them and apply them to my thinking, they motivate me to make course corrections, even in my life and my thinking. I know that 40 years ago, 30 years ago, I thought the year 2000, all this thing was going to happen. And by 2000, none of us are going to be made. By, you know, the 2001, we've been the millennium or whatever. So our mindset and our thinking and our theology and all that changes, especially as we go through these processes and these times. But we wouldn't be prepared had we not taken those things and believed them and walked down the path that we were motivated to walk down and learn and understand and receive certain things because of the of our perspective of that particular prophecy at the time, we wouldn't be prepared now. We wouldn't be prepared now to receive the next steps, or shall we say, God tweaking up and giving us the timing or more, you know, giving us a little more information. So I look at prophecy in that way, that it's preparing me. And I set it to the side. I don't lock in on the dates personally myself, that's kind of redundant, but I don't lock into the dates as much as I allow the dates to influence me and see where the Lord wants to lead me. I think the specific about what Malcolm was talking about, the darkness and don't looking out the window and whatever, at this point, I feel that it's probably significant, important, and I put it on the shelf, and I think it, you know, it's got to apply in a specific sense. But right now, it doesn't hit me as saying that, because in this time that's going to be happening here, we have God in right now bringing together an environment that's going to make it very traumatic on people, and the things that look very important in people's lives right now, in that day and age, in that day when these things happen, those things are not even going to be significant. They're going to be past history. They're going to be thinking of one thing: survival. How do I make it through this? Is God real? All those things become very, very focused at that time. And I believe that there's going to be people knocking on my door and needing something to eat or whatever. And I have to be able to be prepared for that time as well. So anyway, again, talk to the Lord and see how he wants us all to relate. Anyway, that's all I had.
Go ahead, Andrew.
No, in view of what just Pat said, I don't want people to think my rice joke had anything to do about the prophecy that was said, or any of Dixon's prophecies or what was said on Wednesday. I don't want to belittle what was said there at all. I just gave what came to my mind, the first thing, and you really have to consider what the darkness is and what the into the house is, and because it could mean both, you know, and that's what I don't want to belittle with anyone. Said if anyone has that idea, because it's not something one should do with brothers and sisters.
Amen, Andrew. Go ahead, Junior.
I put a verse in the chat, a verse that was coming to my mind about the darkness and, you know, why it would be, why God doesn't want you to let anybody in or whatever, or to cover your windows or whatever, because it's even, I mean, we're covered, we're protected, you know, by the blood of Jesus. We have a Passover and all that, but the Lord's, this is Exodus 10:21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And I just thought, you know, if it's darkness you can feel, I mean, that's evil. I mean, darkness is just evil, and it's going to be felt by those who aren't saved, by, you know, whatever, whomever that applies to, but it's gross darkness, thick darkness, and for 3 days, and just, you know, I think it was the families in Goshen, you know, they were all in their houses, and they were told not to go out. They were not told to go out into the streets and to stay in their homes and to eat the Passover, you know. Anyway, that's just what was coming to my mind. So, I mean, God knows who needs to be in your home at that time, and, you know, he'll give you discernment, you know. Somebody's banging on your door, you know. I'm not opening up my door to anybody during that time. He'll show us, right?
Amen. Amen. All right. Where's Stephen at? Where are you? All right. What do y'all want to talk about? T, do y'all want to continue talking end time stuff come Tuesday night? Or do you want to go and do something else? I've got a subject here that we can go over. Rather, if you don't want to do end times, I have something. Yeah, Pat.
I certainly don't mind doing the end times, but I think I need to do some reading beforehand, though. But one portion of the end times might be nice to go over or review if anybody has any thoughts.
Which one?
Which one of us has the thought?
No. Which portion? You said you wanted to do just a portion of it.
And I'm
going to pinpoint you, buddy.
I'm speaking generally. I didn't have any specific.
You said when somebody wants.
When Vanita mentioned that that she was listening to that one. Verse there, I mean the teaching there, that I might go back and listen to that just to see.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I didn't have anything specific.
All right. Let's see.
What did you have in mind, Michael?
Well, Mike Schoberg actually had this. He said, I have a subject that I feel would be good to discuss in one of the upcoming Zoom meetings. And I do too. I think it's a great, great subject. Are white lies okay? Is it okay to lie? Is it okay to lie? Bullet. Are white lies okay? Bullet. Ruth lied to the king of Jericho in order to protect the spies Joshua had sent out. Bullet. The Hebrew midwives didn't follow Pharaoh's instructions of killing all the newborn Hebrew males and then lied to Pharaoh. And God dealt well with the midwives, the Bible says. Bullet. Kent Hovind shared a teaching while in prison that he believed it was okay to lie in certain circumstances in order to save lives like the midwives in Egypt did, etc. Bullet. My neighbor, who is a Christian and regularly goes to church, told me once that he believes it's okay to lie in certain circumstances. In other words, white lies. Sometimes you just simply have to lie, he said. So y'all read up on this, and we'll talk about that if you don't want to do the end times. That's a good question. I believe it's an excellent question. And that, by the way, he's got to answer. So whatever that is, okay? Stephen, I would you dismiss us with prayer, please?
Sure. Father, we thank you for being able to meet like this, and that your presence is here, and that you have put together, you have drawn each one of us into this ministry through your Spirit. Each one of us has a story of how we have found each other, and that it was, we can only see that it came from through you, Father, that you are the one that brought us together. And Father, you are knitting your church together. You're building your church in the wilderness. It's a privilege to be part of your church in the wilderness. And so, Father, I pray that you would build this into one holy mesh of extension of you, Father, and that you would meld us together and seek with you, Father, and that we could be lights in each of our individual communities where we're at. I thank you for this time to be able to meet together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Go ahead, Andrew. Did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. All right. All right. Good night, y'all. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Well, I can't do it. Y'all have to unmute yourself. Bye-bye.